Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
A very, very special guest today, because most of you guys that have been listening to this show know that I am a big car nut. I love motorsports. I love cars. Matter of fact, I do another show called The Drive. It's all about cars and the car business, and I have been doing that for 25 years. Our guest today has a book about to come out called Drive, 9 Lessons to Win in Business and in Life. And her name is Kelly Earnhardt Miller. And guess what? She is part owner and general manager of JR Motorsports, considered one of the most prominent businesswomen in NASCAR today. She oversees the company's race team, management team, and business ventures with her brother, who also did the foreword of the book, Dale Earnhardt Jr. I've done some stuff with him. Oddly enough, I told her this in advance. The guy I wanted to meet, Dale Earnhardt, the day I met him was the last day of his life. And it was such an interesting thing because here I am now today, all these years later, getting a chance to tell the world about his beautiful daughter, Kelly, and her new book, Drive, and what she has learned and what she has done. And also, she's an award-winning this, that, and the other. And I'll get to some of that as we go. Hi, Kelly. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing good today.
I am. You know, your dad was such an entrepreneur. And here we are. This is Entrepreneur Magazine. This is the crown that we wear on our head, the name Entrepreneur. Your dad was such an entrepreneur. I know you and Dale Jr., entrepreneurs, and your brother, Kerry. You guys, your family, you guys are entrepreneurs to the nth degree. And so for you to put this book out to help people to learn how to win in business and in life, which is, you know, it's kind of important, I think it's great. And it's coming out, everybody. Here we are, beginning of April. So it's out. Just check it out. By the way, let me just give them and I'll give it again. KellyEarnhardtDrive.com. Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, EarnhardtDrive.com. But you can also, you know, just Google it. You'll find it. what drove you to writing this book? Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, well, it's been about an 18-month process, so nobody knew that we'd be in the middle of what we're in the middle of today,
right?
While releasing this book. But I was talking to my brother's publishers after the book that he wrote on his concussions, and you know, they said, "Have you ever thought about writing a book?" And I said, "Well, if I wrote one, this is what I wanted to write it about." And really, I wanted to focus on growing up, my childhood, going through therapy, all these revelations that I had through therapy. And they said, "Nah, that's not going to work. You need to focus on, you know, if you want to write something, you should focus on your business experience and so on and so forth." So it kind of morphed into what, you know, we are releasing today, which is a little bit of biography and a little bit about what I wanted to talk about and a lot more of, you know, probably what I was born to talk about, and that's just my experience in business and experience being an entrepreneur and experience leading a company. And so a lot of the things I talk about are applicable to anyone.
Well, and not to mention being the daughter of 7-time NASCAR champion Dale Earnhardt. I mean, that's kind of a big deal all by itself, right? And then, of course, having to deal with, you know, his end of life and all of that. And like you said, therapy. And I think this is a treasure trove of information for not only entrepreneur, but anyone. That's why I can't wait. I just got a copy. I was like, oh my God, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I just got it in my hands, and here I get to do the interviews. But where better than the horse's mouth to hear all this information? So,
well, that's right. It's an easy, quick read, I think, too. You know, I'm a really down-to-earth. The conversation in the book is as if I'm just kind of talking to you and having a conversation with you. But, you know, it is about, you know, these 9 lessons that I feel like have helped me win in life and helped me do better in the business world and do better in my relationships with people no matter what. So my hope is that there's some nugget, you know, at least one nugget in here that folks can pull out and help them change the way they work, they lead, or they live. So hopefully I've done a good job at articulating some things that will be valuable to people.
Well, you have, this song is appropriate, Life in the Fast Lane. You have definitely grown up in the fast lane. We'll take a little break. Talking to Kelly Earnhardt Miller. Her new book right out right now for you, Drive, 9 Lessons to Win in Business and in Life. We'll ask her to give us, skip a rock, give us a little of each. The book is out right now, KellyEarnhardtDrive.com. You can also find it at JRMRacing.com. That'll take you to it as well. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We have an Uber entrepreneur on the line. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I also do a radio show for cars and car enthusiasts on the weekend called The Drive, which I have to get confused when I'm reading a book right now called Drive from Kelly Earnhardt Miller, 9 Lessons to Win in Business and in Life. I love that you have a book and I have a radio show with the same name. Although I think your book is better suited for this show right now because entrepreneurs are looking at, you know, gosh, this world is crazy. What am I going to do? And, you know, you went through a crazy time in life, losing your father, Dale Earnhardt Sr. You were a young woman in business, but your dad hopefully helped set you up a little bit with just watching the way he was in his life. Your dad had swagger. He had courage. He had confidence. He had what America loves. He was the John Wayne of our day. And
he,
you know,
sure was.
Yeah. And so it's really neat, you know, and I'm glad you're sharing this. And your brother too, Dale Jr., he is he's a guy that's not afraid to put his life out there and just let people see who he is. And I love that about you guys. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, I attribute in the book several things to my dad. One of the lessons that I talk about is aiming for the win-win, and that one definitely I remember, you know, very vividly. Dad talking about sponsors and sponsorship and the things that, you know, even our fans and all those kind of things, and just working really hard to provide them with as much, you know, as you could, because they love the sport and, you know, spent their money, their hard-earned money in the sport, and the sponsors provided, you know, the opportunity for him to race. So, you know, that aiming for the win-win is just really about, you know, finding the win-win for both parties when you're engaged in something together, and that way you can, you know, have a fruitful, hopefully longer-lasting partnership, you know, if parties are getting something out of it. So, but a lot of these things, you know, relate to my experience growing up as his daughter, you know, being authentic, down to earth. He made us work and earn, you know, anything and everything that we ever, you know, he made us do what everyone calls, I guess, the hard way or whatever. You know, we weren't spoiled. We weren't given anything. And we had to, you know, do chores and show a commitment and show a discipline to things in our life, just like most people, in order to kind of work their way up and get the things that they were working hard for. So, yeah, it's pretty, you know, all the lessons in here are deeply embedded in my experience and the foundation of my life. It's funny you were talking about getting confused. I don't even know what day it is sometimes right now, right? Because you're working from home.
Yeah.
You're, you know, our days of the week from a racing perspective are like, okay, on Fridays we qualify, on Saturdays we race, on Sunday the cup races, you know, on Mondays the download happens, these things, and it's like you wake up and I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah, no, we're all, our heads are all spinning. So, and then listen,
yes,
you're also big sister to another, you know, big name. And did you take that role as, okay, I'm big sister, I gotta, you know, help my brother? You guys are probably a pretty tight family, right?
Yeah, you know, Dale and I's relationship, really, the closeness that we share today was really formed, you know, very early on when our parents divorced. I was 4 years old and Dale was 2. Mm. And we lived with our mom until I was 9. And during that time period, we didn't see a lot of our dad. And I was, my mom worked third shift. And so I would just, you know, kind of do the motherly things and get Dale and I off to school and make sure we were eating. And, you know, I was cooking and things like that at 9 years old, 8 years old.
I love it.
And just kind of looking after him. And Dale was like this scrawny little guy who everybody picked on.
He's going to love you saying that about him, by the way.
Yeah, I was always taking up for him and, you know, looking out for him and protecting him. So it kind of started at a really young age and has been that way ever since.
Yeah, that's neat. And he wrote the foreword to your book. And when you went to him and said, hey, I want you to do this, do you remember what he said?
Yeah, he said, no problem. He said, as many things as you've done for me in my life, it's the least I can do. He said, I'm honored that you would ask me to do it.
So
he'd have been mad if I didn't.
You know what? And that's, God bless you guys for, you know, family is so important. And I think America is learning that right now with we're having to spend more time together. We're having to reevaluate relationships and petty things we used to be mad about each other and, you know, just kind of let it go, you know. So let's talk about that, by the way. Letting go is essential in moving forward in business. That's one of the things in your book.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, letting go of a lot of stuff, you know, just talking about the therapy and different things like that in my life that just from my childhood and not feeling like, you know, there's certain things about my childhood that I didn't like and that I experienced. So letting go was very important for me. But, you know, specifically kind of in my book, I talk about, you know, building on something new after adversity. You know, I've had to, leaving DEI was probably one of the biggest things when you're talking about letting it go and letting that family legacy situation go and building that in a different way, you know.
All so right. Hold on. Let's do this on the other side of the break. This is such good stuff. Love this conversation. It means so much to me personally as a racing fan and an Earnhardt fan. Kelly Earnhardt Miller, our guest today, her book out, Drive, 9 Lessons to Win in Business and in Life. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
The book is Drive, 9 Lessons to Win in Business and in Life. Kelly Earnhardt Miller, Dale Earnhardt's daughter, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s sister, big sister that is, and sharing some of her experience in life and with you guys and me. And thank you very much, Kelly. Before we got interrupted, we were talking about letting go is essential in moving forward in business, but in life too, right? But you were going to make a point, and I don't know where I got cut off because of the commercial. So.
I was talking about, you know, the big decision that we made to move on from Dale Earnhardt Incorporated to Hendrick Motorsports. You know, that was a big letting go moment.
Ooh,
that family legacy and family business and that kind of thing. And where would that take us? And would the fans support us? And, you know, that, or would they throw stones at us and think we were awful children? You know, you just didn't know. But, you know, letting go is really tough. Moving on from things, finding the courage to let go, to not hold on to things. When I think about letting go, you know, I just think about, if I let it go, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You know, can I live with it? What's, you know, am I going to be better from it? Are we going to be better positioned and that kind of thing? So there's, you know, one of my favorite things on my Facebook page, I have this saying that says, don't worry about what you can't control. I think that is like the best thing to live with about letting it go. You know, if you can't control it, let's move on. Let's focus our energy on things we can control and let the other stuff take care of itself, because it usually does, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping that's going to happen with this this coronavirus thing. But we're all kind of sitting here right now going, But my suggestion is go out and get this book, Drive, 9 Lessons to Win in Business and in Life by Kelly Earnhardt Miller. By the way, her social handles are, go to Facebook and just look up Kelly Earnhardt, and that's K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Yes.
Twitter is
backwards. It's Earnhardt Kelly.
I was going to say Earnhardt Kelly. And then Instagram, back to the Kelly
Earnhardt Miller.
Miller this time. So you got all three of them. You'll find her if you go looking for her.
Notice in my book I didn't write about consistency, right?
I love that. Oh, that is awesome. Okay, so the importance of balancing work with your life is key. Another thing you said in your book.
Yeah, for me it is. You know, I want to be a mom. I've got three kids. I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good wife. You know, I want to be a good leader. And so, you know, balancing that work life is really important. And I let that kind of get out of hand for me at certain points in my life. You know, you're really focused on your career. You're focused on climbing the ladder. You're focused on adding things to your resume. And so saying yes for me was something, you know, that I said yes to everything. I want to help people. I want to do things for people. I want people to have a good opinion of me, you know. So I said yes to so many different things that ultimately, you know, really started kind of corroding my own time and my own happiness because I'd just get pulled in too many directions. And so that's a lot about what I mean in that balancing that work and life is, you know, learning to say no and being okay with that and learning that you can't be everything to everybody. But that takes a lot of self-talk and, you know, a lot of, trying to not worry about what other people perceive you as and things like that, which is really hard. It's really hard in our world because there's a lot of judgment in our world.
Oh, yeah. Now, I know that you were, you know, probably a mentor for your brother, Dale Jr. Who was your mentor?
You know, my biggest mentors, I mean, my dad was a great mentor for me. And so I give, you know, a lot of credit to him. In my business life, you know, two people that stand out is Joe Mattis, who still works with me today. Joe was one of my first bosses. My dad hired him to come down from Pennsylvania and run Sports Image, which was the souvenir business. I worked for Joe for about, 3, 4, 5 years. And then he went off to work for NASCAR.com. And when we started this business and decided we were leaving DEI, he came to work for me, and so now we work together. And Mr. Hendrick as well. When we merged with his entity for our Xfinity team in 2008, I mean, there is no better person to learn how to take care of people and understanding that people are your biggest asset in life, whether it's work, personally, any of those kind of things. He's just amazing.
I love that. And I love how you call him Mr. Hendrick still.
I do. I can't lend myself to call him Rick. It sounds weird.
I know. And I know him. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Even when he calls me, I say, "Hey, Mr. Hendrick," you know, and we talk and everything, and all right, okay. And when we hang up, we always say, "I love you." And I'm like, "I love you." So I'm like, "Mr. Hendrick" in the beginning, and "I love you" at the end.
Right. It's just too good. It's too good. You can't make this stuff up. By the way, the picture on the cover of your book, Drive, 9 Lessons to Win in Business and in Life, it's available right now, you guys. You look like the girl next door. You kind of look like you're about to go out and, feed the cows or whatever. You're just a simple,
Strawberries or something.
Yeah, it's just really neat. You look like a very happy person, and that certainly brings joy, I think, to people that who know what you've been through and know the life that you have, and you look happy. And it's not something you can fake. I mean, because you're not all made up looking. You're just the girl next door.
Well, thank you. That's part of that being authentic piece and just being who you are. And it is who I am. I can't pretend. It's not my DNA to be anything different, and just down to earth as the girl next door. And I went into a little catering place up by my house, was picking up some meals for my stepdad during all this mess, and the lady was telling me a story about this 18-year-old kid who works for her, and she's like, "The last time you were in here, Duncan just went crazy, and he just couldn't believe that you were in our little place getting this food." And and I think those stories are great because it just shows people, I mean, I'm just like you. I'm down at the Dollar General trying to find toilet paper during COVID and everything else.
I love it. Kelly Earnhardt Miller. Oh, my gosh. Junior Motorsports, JR Motorsports, JRMRacing.com on the web. You can find her book, Drive, at KellyEarnhardtDrive.com. Kelly, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a little break, and there's more right after this. Entrepreneur Weekly.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And I happen to have one of those guys on the line right now. Talk about life in the fast lane. Keith Kroc, chairman and former CEO of DocuSign. But this guy, you just almost need to Google him and look up his life. It's so interesting. But I said something on the way out, Keith, that I wanted to ask you if anything surprising happened along the way on your entrepreneurial journey, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it was when I left General Motors at the age of 30, and I was a vice president, people thought I was nuts because back then, you'd stay there forever. I had as good a shot as anybody, probably being the CEO. But I decided to head on out to Silicon Valley. And I went to a software company. Nobody knows the name of it anymore because it went bankrupt as the number two person. And I remember, I think it was the first or second day, and the CEO said, "Hey, we've got a board meeting coming up in a few days, and I want you to say this." And I said, "Well, that would be lying. I would not say that. And right then, I got that, you know, warm feeling inside that pit in my stomach, and I go, oh, my God, I think I made the biggest mistake of my life.
Oh, no.
Because I don't share the same values as the CEO. And it was probably the most valuable lesson I've learned in my business career, and that is how important is a strong set of values. And I had seen it, you know, obviously at General Motors, I've seen it at Purdue, I saw it at business school, growing up in my family, and something that was right in front of my face, I missed it. And, you know, and it was the worst year of my life, because on one hand, you know, I'd never really quit anything before in the middle, but I wasn't living my core values every day. And finally, after a year of it, the day my first son was being born, I told the CEO to do something that was anatomically impossible to do, and I quit.
Oh my gosh! So let me boil it down. The guy asked you to be, in essence, to go against the grain of who you are, which is an honest man.
Yeah.
What's better about your decision is you probably would have been the fall guy for that dishonest CEO had things not gone right. And I think you said the company is now gone. But
yep,
you know, right? That would have been the change of your life. That one moment, had you not told that guy to do whatever he was supposed to do to himself, I think you would have been in a whole nother role. But here you are.
I know. And it was literally as my son was being born. It's like, oh, you got to, because IBM had invested like $30 million. Oh, you got to come back. We need you. I go, I'm not going to miss the birth of my son. And that's when I said, what I said. And you know, that was a scary moment in life. Here I am, you know, without a job. Got two children, and
wow.
But you know, as my father always said, you know, the key to life is when you get handed a bunch of rotten lemons to turn into sweet lemonade, and that's when I hooked up with these three PhD scientists from IBM, and we built the Rasmussen Corporation. So
wait a minute.
You just never know.
What is that? No, tell us about that one.
Well, we changed the way mechanical engineering is done. It was a mechanical engineering software company. We created a category called mechanical design synthesis. So up to this point in time, if you're designing airplanes, cars, and you're doing structural analysis, mechanism analysis, you needed a PhD. And we created a technology that would not only put it in the hands of regular design engineers, but it would actually optimize the design. So we created this design optimization software. And even to this day, my son, who is legitimately a spacecraft design engineer at NASA, rocket scientist, even he uses it. So
wow.
It was an amazing company, and we sold it back in 95 for about $500 million to Parametric Technology. So that was and it was that team, many of those members of that team, that then led to Ariba, where we created B2B e-commerce.
Mm. So what I'm hearing, the theme that I'm hearing in your life is that you have never jeopardized your core beliefs, that you must know it. I think even Sun Tzu, in The Art of War, says you must know yourself and you must know the enemy. And it sounds like you knew yourself, that you decided, you walked away from that job. Had you not walked away and done what the guy wanted you to do and gone against your core beliefs, you may be sitting on Skid Row. But today, instead, you are, you know, the guy at the top of the food chain, which is great. But it's because you didn't allow yourself to compromise your beliefs. And I think that is so important for entrepreneurs. Know yourself, you know, it's so important.
I think you're You're so absolutely correct, because at the end of the day, if you don't have your integrity, you don't have anything. And living your values every day is just so critical. And, you know, I had heard that growing up. But when you're confronted in that situation, that's what really, you know, develops that scar tissue on you, so that you make sure that that gets cascaded in any organization that you build, and you make sure that it's the first piece of advice that you give to young entrepreneurs or young global leaders. I just think that is, you know, lesson 101.
Yep. All right, hang tight. We're going to take another little break. We're talking with Keith Kroc, everybody. Chairman and former CEO of DocuSign. Very interesting conversation. We'll be right back.
Hey, sister.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Disruptive. That guy singing is Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. I did a show with him for a year. The craziest year of my life with a rock star. We have a rock star, Keith Kroc, on the line with us, former CEO, but he is still chairman of DocuSign. Okay, counterintuitive. How about a piece of advice that may seem counterintuitive?
Early in my career, I always thought that a great leader meant to be a perfect, it meant being a perfect role model. I think it's actually the opposite. You know, what I found is it's powerful to talk about your failures and admit your flaws. And, you know, throughout my career, I've had a lot of ups and downs. I've had some wins. I've had some losses. But, where you learn the most is in those kind of situations. And, you know, when you're standing up in front of a crowd, people know your weaknesses, or they soon will. So you might as well admit it, have fun with it, have a self-deprecating sense of humor. You know, one of the things that I always say is, don't look too good or act too smart. And I learned that from one of the first guys I hired at General Motors, a guy named Pete Planchock, and he was terrified of public speaking, so he would go around from church to church, listen to ministers and we listened to it on the radio station, and he goes, Keith, you see that? He used an ain't. You know, he says, never look too good or talk too smart. And, I think that's really important. And it's important for young people to know that. I mean, maybe that's the basis of authenticity. So, and it's fun to do.
I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I have a tiny little story I'll tell you. I've been an expert on ABC for years for Regis. Remember Regis and Kelly? Well, in the year 2000, I started out on this show showing cars, because you and I have that in common. I was a car guy, worked for Car and Driver magazine. And, you know, I was on for a few years, and then our local newspaper in small town USA comes to knocking on the door, and they want to do an interview with me. And they have this picture of Regis, Philbin, and I pointing at each other. And Regis is a great guy. I mean, I got so much great advice from him. He's such a mentor. But they said to me at one point, they said, what do you attribute your success to? Because at that point in time, I guess they figured since I'm on TV, I'm successful, which doesn't mean you are. But anyway, I said, I attribute my success to my failures, because they prepared me through not being angry at them and through not, you know, just laying down and going, oh, I'm a failure. I realized these were my learning opportunities. And I remember my one brother says to me, you're crazy. Why did you say that? I said, no, because it's the truth. Everybody has failures. Right. That's how you learn, right? So anyway.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting about that, Alan, and you're a great father. You know, I have five children. Is this principle also applies to parenting? you know, young guys, when they're about ready to have a baby, they'll say, hey, you know, give me some advice. I go, well, first of all, it's not written in a book, and trust your gut, and when in doubt, give a hug. But the counterintuitive thing is don't be afraid to talk about your failures. And there's a magical thing when you do that with your children, because first of all, society puts enough pressure on them. And, you know, second of all, it allows them to kind of set free, and they don't have to be perfect. And it actually teaches them, you know, risk-taking and courage and all of that. And, I've learned that through the years.
You know what? And you know what's a harder job than being the CEO of a giant company? Being a father.
And by the way, you learned so much.
You sure do.
Being a father in terms of how to be a leader, right?
All right. Let's talk about, you know, being a father. Your kids think you have superpowers. What superpowers might you have being an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, I'll go back to my father. He was like a boxer in the Army. And I remember one night I'm 18 years old and we're drinking a few beers. And he goes, Keith, do you ever feel like sometimes you're just getting pummeled in the corner of the ring? I go, what do you mean? He goes, like, guys are just, you feel like you're getting beaten up and there's no way out of it. And I go, yeah, yeah. And he goes, well, there's a superpower to get out of that. I go, what is it? He goes, well, I don't know. You might not understand. I go, come on, Dad, tell me. And he goes, here's what it is. It's a sense of humor where you mock yourself out. You know, I'm not so sure he knew what the word self-deprecating meant, but it is, he goes, it gets you out every time. And it's really true. I think a self-deprecating sense of humor is an absolute superpower in terms of leadership in so many different ways. And, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, people are going to mock you out anyway, so you might as well mock yourself out first. I guess maybe the best offense is best defense, a good offense.
I think you're 100% right. I think it's I've used that my whole life. My dad, by the way, was also he was a judo expert, oddly enough, and in the military. And he says to me one day, you've never been in a fight. How would you know? And because, you know, I was a cocky young man. He says, Dad, I've always been able to talk my way out of a fight by sometimes just laughing about it, you know? God, that's funny. All right, don't go anywhere. We're talking with Keith Kroc, chairman and former CEO of DocuSign, and a whole lot more. This is Entrepreneur Weekly, and we're learning. This is the fun road to learning. Just talking about life. We'll be right back. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we thank you all for joining us. We hope that you'll check out our website, entrepreneur.com. There's lots of great podcasts there, not just this one, but a whole bunch of other great ones. Jason Pfeiffer, our editor-in-chief, does two different podcasts. There's a lot of great content you can listen to, you can watch the videos, you can read the stories, entrepreneur.com. So head over there after this show. Keith Kroc is with us, chairman and former CEO of DocuSign. Keith, the question I have is before we go, because I haven't asked you a whole lot about DocuSign. It's so good. It just speaks for itself. So we don't really need to do a commercial for it. But is there anything that people don't know that they should know before we get on to our last lesson?
You know, I think what people don't necessarily know about DocuSign is just now how big it is. The DocuSign Global Trust Network has 200 million unique users, and we're putting 300,000 unique users on a day, and 300,000 companies have standardized on it. That's probably why you're seeing it more and more out there. And, you know, at its essence, what we do is we simplify people's lives securely. So it's just an honor to be part of building that great company.
Well, I love DocuSign. I use it constantly, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to use it on a piece of property I'm buying today. So there you
I
go.
Love it.
All right, so our final segment is going to be you being the professor for a moment, and maybe you could give some advice. Out of all these years and all these amazing, amazing things and billions of dollars passed through your fingertips, through your command, what kind of advice can you share with entrepreneurs just beginning on their journeys?
I've had a lot of great mentors along the way, and I've had a chance to mentor a lot of great entrepreneurs. And the one piece of advice I always give is do not be afraid to jump in water over your head. You know, because that is how you learn how to swim. And if something feels scary, do it, because that means you're going to learn a lot. It also probably means that somebody hasn't done it before, and you're going to learn how to swim. So, you know, in essence, it's kind of like follow your fear, more than just your gut, but your fear, because you'll get that adrenaline pumping. And you'll surprise yourself every time. And don't be afraid to fail, obviously, because that is where you learn the most.
Mm. What would you say to the folks that are having to deal with the intergenerational divide, you might say, in business?
What I would say would be absolutely, you know, embrace it. I mean, for the baby boomers of my generation, it's like have an open mind to fresh ideas and thinking, you know, from your millennial colleagues, you know, around the table. Because I think, you know, that age group of 20s and 30s have such incredible drive, energy, and passion, you know, tap into their energy, respect their opinions, and give them an objective, give them a mission, and delegate not just the responsibility, but the authority go with it, and trust their judgment. They'll surprise you every time. I mean, I have so many great experience with chief of staffs in their 20s and young guys. It's great. Now, for the millennials, my advice is be proactive, be bold, be direct and open and honest, because in that dialogue back and forth, you know, you represent a great perspective that's extremely valuable. And so many times I just say, you know, to my chief of staff here, I was just like, I just trust your judgment more than I, you know, trust mine. And you've got a unique perspective, and don't be afraid to think out of the box and share that crazy idea. And you know, the key thing is to be proactive. I mean, sit down, hey, how can I improve all that? So engage it, because I think the mixing of generations, just like the mixing of diversity of thought, mixing of disciplines, that is the catalyst for genius.
Well, it's good advice. It's been a great conversation. Thank you for sharing all this good stuff. You guys can find him online at Keith Kroc, like a crocodile, but spelled K-R-A-C-H, keithkroc.com. And do you have a book?
I don't have a book.
You need to have a book.
Write one together.
Let's write a book with all of this great information. There needs to be a book, Keith Kroc. Get busy on that. Chairman and former CEO of DocuSign. What a pleasure it's been. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been an honor to be on your show, Alan. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel, for another Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.